everybody. I am Estela M. Alcoholic. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Okay, guys. October 7, 2000 is the day of sobriety for me. I am very grateful with God for the gift of desperation, without which there is no solution, you know. So in October 6, one day previous, I went like every night to Randall's. I was living up there in Houston, Texas, in the middle of nowhere. 300 acres land and Longhorn cows were my closer neighbors. 20 miles to Waller, or to Katy, or to Silly, Texas, or 1 hour to Houston. Anyway, so from my work in Country Oaks up there in Houston, I was driving and I went to Randall's to have my booze like every day. But you know, I was a little girl, 50 pounds less than now, and size 3 was very important, and I had a big long hair, right? So anyway, I wanted to look for the beer that has the less amount of fat, you know? I don't want to have this big belly hanging on top of the bag. So I came, I am going to switch for scotch. So in the moment I went to switch for scotch, my father, who died clean and sober member of AA in 1996, this was in 2000, he came to my mind and he said, you better restart this now before it gets worse. You know what to do and where to go. Do it. Man, I freak out. So, I just come back to my beer. I pass out that night, and I pass out like many other days, you know, many other nights. So anyway, but before that, every day, every time, I am from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, okay? So every time I call my mother or she call me, the first thing, as soon as she recognize my voice is, are you drinking? Oh, my mother, and he will start. We start a fight. Of course, I told her not, but in reality, I am a morning person. So I start waking up at 5 in the morning with coffee with Kahlua, continue with beer. It was a weekend, was a tough. I was, well, I just start throwing up at noon, and maybe I pass out or something, and around 2 in the afternoon, I was thinking maybe I wasn't going to drink. And then at 4 in the afternoon, what is the big deal? It's legal. Everybody does it, you know? So, and here we go again. And then at night, pass out like every night. Now, in the morning, because during the weekend I was drinking all day around, right? There was nothing else there. And I was living in an RV in that time. So when I opened the door, you know, in the morning I went to take a shower and to go to work. And when I opened the door of the bathroom, you know, the smell of the soap, the shampoo and everything, and then the smell of the drum comes up on the face, it's so terrible, and I cannot blame anybody because not even my dogs are there because my husband already had picked them up, you know? So I couldn't blame anybody, so that was devastating. Anyway, my father that came to my mind and he said, you better do something about it. So that night I pass out, but next morning, I don't know at what time I wake up, I only know at 1:30 was the first meeting in Katy, Texas, 12 and 12, was my first meeting. And as soon as I closed the door of AA, I feel that I belong. And it was weird, because I was the only Latino person there. You know, male or female, who knows? I was the only one there. And if you cannot understand my accent now, could you imagine? Anyway, and they asked me to read. And they had no problem. They let me finish whatever I was to say, or they imagine it or whatever. No, so anyway, so at the end, I could relate to the way you were feeling. I continue going because I feel I belong. I never feel I belong, not even in my own family, you know? And I am the second of 4. And so anyway, I continue coming back. And we were 4 new ones. And in one, those 4 new ones, 2 teenagers, was one guy, James. He was in and out of the program for many years. And he always is cleaning the dishes, and I was picking up the ashtrays. And there was one corner a sofa. What's that kind of sofa that you sit down and you sink on it, right? But that was my sofa. Oh man, and I had to get there to get in that sofa. And if you were there, man, I get angry. So anyway, so I was cleaning the estuaries and I had to clean the dishes and all that. And then James asked, do you have a sponsor?
No.
No, he says, do you have booze in your house? Oh, it's loaded. Because I only passed out one night, right? I wasn't drinking after I came to the inn. And she said, okay, when you get to the house, you call me, and we are going to drop the beer. And then he was telling me, do you have the beer next to your bed? And I don't know how he remembered all that. It's fire somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And they got it.
Okay. So... So anyway, so we throw all that beer and everything. Oh. So anyway, can we open those windows? Those the windows, I think, are windows. So anyway, thank you. So after that, yeah, man, come on. Keep talking, Estella. Okay, so after that, time is going, Estella. Okay, so she gave me this phone number, call your sponsor. And a week later, he's asking, can you call your sponsor? No. So he died. Here's your sponsor. And I talked to this lady, and she said, okay, I'll meet you tomorrow in the meeting. Next day in the meeting, her name was Leslie. I love the peace and serenity in her eyes. I am very grateful for that. And then she's asking me, she says, you know, this program works very good, but you need to have a higher power. Do you have a higher power? And I said, yes, but this son of a gun is a monarchy guy. Everything has to be his way or no way, and I am tired and sick of it. And she said, you know, God doesn't care what you feel or what you think. He cares about what you do. As soon as, and then I said, look, that doesn't make any sense. We had a big book in front of us, was a table, and I said, look, if you tell me, put this book on the table, and I can do that. How do I do step 1, 2, and 3? And she says, as soon as you open your eyes and you realize you are alive, you are going to say, please, God, give me what it takes to be sober today. At the end of the day, you are going to say, thank you, God, for this 24 hours clean and sober. You have to do 90 meetings in 90 days. You have to change only one thing, everything. And she says, if you stand up on the right side of the bed, you have to get up from the left. And I said, how am I going to do that? The RV, the bed is on the very back of the wall. And she said, put your head where your feet are. And she said, you know, your car has a drive control. And it's already programmed to go to get your booze. If you don't break with that routine, it's going to get you again. And then she says, you cannot go to the same stores to buy your milk or anything. You have to go to different stores. Not to the stores where you got your booze. You have to get another store. Doesn't matter, you go farther. You know? And then she says, all the time you were spending on the booze, you have to be in AA. I told her, the strongest, the worst times were during the weekend. I was drinking over the crowd. And said, okay, so you can stay here. The doors are going to be closed, but you can be reading your big book here on the door, and it's a safe place to be. I did that. So anyway, then she says, read the big book. And you know, I started reading in the beginning, but it didn't make any sense. I couldn't understand it. So I went the easiest of the way. I started reading from the back, the stories. And she says, okay, underline and highlight with one color solutions, everything that feels sweet to your heart. And similarity, everything like, I have feel like this, or this happened to me. That is similarity. So I did all that, but you know, I am obsessive compulsive. So I finished reading the whole book in 3 days. So I am calling her, oh man, 4 in the morning, oh man, I have to call her. So thanks, but she was another ranchero lady, right? So I called her 5 in the morning, Leslie, I know why I have to do step 4. And she says, oh really, why? Because if I know I don't make peace with my past, I won't be able to live one day at a time. You are right. If you are tied to your past, your foot is stuck to that person and to that year long ago. and you won't be able to be living here in the year 2000. Yes. So now, Estela, you have to be doing your step four and start working on it. Well, I wait on that one for a little bit, and then we had to answer the phones during the weekend. We answer the phone, and I thought I wrote my name, but when I get there, looks like somebody else has found my spot. So I was sitting there in the living room, and this lady named Connie, beautiful girl, maybe in her early 30s, blonde, beautiful blue eyes. I never see her before or after. Looks like she went out later. She told me, "Hey, are you new?" And I said, "Yeah." "What step are you on?" I said, "Four." "Oh, okay, what are you write?" "Nothing." "Okay, come on, stop." And then she started, "Mother." And then she made this question. They start, "Mother." And I said, "Why my mother?" "Because we always hate the people we love the most." Keep it up. And now you can start, go, pass two, three pages and go, "Mother." "Oh, with him, I got a bunch." But anyway, I couldn't stop. My first sponsor says, don't do much, only 10 minutes at a time. Because every time you do step four, it's like you are opening a wound and you are putting a soap on it and it's going to hurt. You don't do more than 10 minutes at a time. Now, obsessive compulsive, I am. I finished it. And next day I went to see her. Man, that poor woman. She finished. I was with her for over 5 hours. Was raining when I went out from there, and I am driving back to my house, and but it was raining big time, and was the road coming back and forth. That was the only reason why I didn't turn around, but because something else come up, right? So, man, I'm telling you, my sponsors are amazing. And then, so, I don't know, so I was telling her, my ex-husband, I then was, she was, he was my husband. I have the delirium tremens. I was thinking, maybe I am not an alcoholic because I went to AA, and the people is talking about losing husband, and losing his children, and having DUIs, and losing. I didn't lose all that. And she says, "Estela, let's put the cards on the table. You don't lose a husband because your husband doesn't live with you. You don't lose a child because God was so smart he didn't give you one. You don't have any DUI because you are too chicken to be driving until you have all your papers straight." And then he says, "And you don't have a house because since you are with this guy, you have been camping in the middle of nowhere. If you put your trailer on the city, it will be under the bridge." It was so real, but you know, this head, I love denial. You know, I don't like some people. No, worry about it, keep on going. You know, and I don't know, Jim really knows because we went. One guy went, okay. What happened is, okay, I will tell you about this, but it's out of this place, okay? I went to a convention, okay. So I had to move to Santa Maria. And I told Leslie, "What are you going to do? You are not going to be there." And she says, the program of LA has been working one day at a time for you. So if it works, don't fix it. Keep on doing the same as you're doing. If you continue in basics, you don't have to come back to basics. But I can tell you that she told me how live the steps, the whole 12 steps, and how I apply the 12 traditions in my life. So I have to tell you that, but I can't tell you about my delirium tremens, and I still have to tell you about it. Okay, so after you put the cards on the table, right, about how I can lose it, why, I used to have this delirium tremens. All the abuse of animals, babies, and all people, and I was freaking out, man. And I say, "Oh, lady, this is happening." And she said, "Oh, Estela, have you care about the delirium tremens?" And I said, "Yeah, but isn't that a thing that ants are going to eat you?" And she says, "No. Everything that bothers you the most, those are." So anyway, I was praying God. Suddenly, I start having these delirium tremens, very ugly. My parents got divorced when I was 8 years old for my father's alcoholism. He had everything I cannot stand in a man. Borracho, mujeriego, tomador, mantenido, golpeador. Anyway. So, borracho, drunk, mantenido, the wife of borracho mantenido, golpeador, hit woman. Borracho mantenido, golpeador. What is? Anyway. In that vicinity. So anyway. So we were 3 years. My brother was 2 years old. And my mother, and then my grandmother came to live with us. All of us were the mothers of my brother. So, in this delirium tremens, it came to me, my brother already an adult, maybe in his 20s, and he was laughing in front of me, but he was laughing so strong, his butt went slide back to on the wall, and his butt touched the floor. In the moment that his butt touched the floor, his chest was open, and his heart was coming like an apple. He picked it up and threw it backwards. And then he's trying to crawl like a dog, trying to pick up the heart and trying to put it back. I was feeling guilty. How is possible this brain can produce such a thing in my brother? He was like a baby. So I was freaking out. And my brother, my sponsor said, the only thing you can do about it is pray. He is going to remove it. He is the solution. So I was praying. That lasted 1.5 days. When I was coming back from the dentist in this farmer's road, and I was praying, I saw my brother, my dad, on the road, and I am praying back, and suddenly, this picture came to my mind, and this picture overcame the heart of my brother. I didn't have this picture with me. The image was in my head. In that moment, the heart of Jesus became overlapped. I could see how the image of Jesus was here and overlapped on my brother. Since that moment, the pain and everything about it went away, and I can talk about it, okay? So, that was one of the little ones of the God shots. But that is about my delirium tremens and how God took care of it. So, anyway, we were talking about moving here. So, when I moved here, Steve, this guy used to say he was grateful, I call him. He says, hey, come to the convention. I met my wife there, and I said, yeah, right. Well, let me tell you, come to the Congress. I meet my husband there. I mean. So, in that Congress, I thought about invite a girl. I can never go with girls. So invite Teresi. As soon as we get in, she turned around and she leave me. I am alone. I said, she's gone. Very good. So I went to the first room, it's open, and there is Alanon. And there was this guy. And he feels very comfortable next to him, you know, very peaceful. So we chatted the day. At night, he left, and we went for the dancing. So we are dancing, and Jim Archie thinks that after he dances, he just one song, he goes and sit down. So when he comes to dance with me, I don't like it, turn around and keep dancing. And oh man, I enjoy that floor. And in that time, dancing for me was very important, but you know, in the other way, you go changing. Oh man, big time. I will pass around the picture of when my husband and I, we met a year later, because I didn't see him for a year, and nobody knew who he was. I didn't see him. During that time, I got divorced. Okay. So I will pass around this picture. I want it back because it's the only one I want to have around here. And anyway, so this is the best way I can have my big book, DC, and have it in my pocket with me because I need a solution. And I don't know, my head is not always in that spot. So, where are we? Yes, when I came here, I was thinking, who is going to be? I asked my sponsor, who is going to be my sponsor? And he says, ask God to give you a sponsor. So I pray, God, please, God, give me a sponsor. The first meeting I came here was a woman meeting. And one woman, very little one, red hair, was the secretary of the meeting. And I got inside, and then she started talking to her daughter, was living in Houston. And I thought, oh my God, this is my lady. And it was amazing because she had many problems that I had. Very good. I can tell you that after I had one year of recovery, that I would be able to leave the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, my sponsor told me now I can start going to do the Al-Anon meeting. Because my ex-husband, he was alcoholic and drug addict. And we met like that. In that time when I came to live here, he continued using and drinking whatever. But I came here in December 22nd, 2002. So these things were very bad, very bad. And he said, I have to get out of AA because AA is ruining our life. AA is the problem. So anyway, so one day, I don't know how it was. I asked him for a hug, and he gave me a terrible hug, and then he threw me on the bed, and he left in my vacation with his brother. So, oh, by the way, I have to let you know, we were living in the middle of nowhere, 10 miles before we get to Nyukujama. In fact, one day I have a problem with my car. I called him out for a ride. And he says, sure, I'll take you. And I said, you don't understand. I live almost in a different city. And he said, I'll take you. And he did. He gave me a ride. And he didn't charge me. Anyway, so no, he's amazing. So anyway, no, and you don't know. One day he invited me to eat. Oh my God, I made myself on that one. Anyway, so I'm telling you, we are sick bodies. So anyway, in my way to work one day, I wish my husband dead, and I was freaking out, man. And I called my sponsor, Susan Mayers. She's dead. She's one of the spiritual lady, this red hair lady, Susan Mayers. She was my sponsor for some years. Anyway, so I called my sponsor. She said, oh, don't worry. We don't do everything that we think. Don't worry about it. But I couldn't start. So I called my sponsor in OA. Compulsive Order Eater, I had that, and I was belong to that program, OA Power, for many years, following this specific diet. Anyway, so she said, you have to meet my sponsor, and they tell me to, they introduced me with Pat and David Ford. This is important, because in July 4, 2004, oh, after I wish him dead, I was freaking out. I went to work, and when I was coming back to the RV, his dog was there. And he was coming out from the RV running, and I said, what happened? We used to call him Tex. What happened, Tex? And he said he was sleeping very deliciously, and a voice very real told him, I wish him dead. So the first thing that came from me is, no, Tex. And they came to me, and the truth will make you free. And you said, you know, it's true. So I better get out of here, otherwise you are going to be dead, and I will be in jail. That day was July 4, 2004. So I was already stuck in my car, and we went to see Pat and David, and I started sleeping in that house for one day at a time until I started renting a bedroom with them. Anyway, now, it is years of sobriety. I know my sponsor can tell me many things, but they are annoying people. She said, she let me talk for 5 minutes, and after that she says, wait. Where is God in all this?
I don't know.
Well, no, when you found me, call me. Anyway, and then she said, when I am complaining too much, she says, come on, Estela, get out of the cross. We need the wood. You know, so, and then she told me, stand up, make a circle, whatever comes from your fingertips to that way, drop it, doesn't belong to you, from your fingertips to your core, belongs to you. If the sentence starts with he, she, it, drop it, doesn't belong to you, you are stealing something. So anyway, now, As my sponsor, Jim R. talks about the hula hula, you know? He keeps saying hula hula. I don't. So what happened is that, you know, being acting, I call it, I always wanted to be like the cartoons. The cartoon, this guy after the big thunderstorm, the big, the hell is breaking loose, and he's stand up on the very hill, and the wind is on his face, and ta-da. It never happened. I always watch the ground. So anyway, so my sponsor told me that life is around, saying that air turns around, and it's nothing. Nobody can stop the world for turning around and around and around. And the same happens with life. Now, we humans have the tendency to put power, property, and prestige. So money, prestige, money, property, and prestige. So we fight against anything and everyone, and we can step on the toes of whoever it is or on the head in order to reach this. But this is in a constant movement. You see, it's in the top. It's going to go down. And then it's going to be down, and I am going to be dying. So my sponsor told me that as long as I, this is a new Charlie, I called him, I gave catechism classes, okay? And I told them this because I think it's important to have life in a life. If we see every life without higher power can have it be a success, and then any life on self will can have it be a success. Okay, so look at this. So I told my children very much similar. So this is Charlie. As long as Charlie wants to hold from money, property, and prestige, okay, he get it, right? Okay, don't worry, because he's coming down. And he's crushed. He's fighting, he's kicking, and then he's finally starting to get out of the water, and he's going up, and he's getting a little bit happy, but man, he's hard. Man, he's hard. Hardly is it down again. Hey, no, 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 no. Here we go again. You know? Very good. So now that is the Estela in the disease. Now Estela is coming from God of her own understanding. So doesn't matter where money, property, and prestige are. Woo! Doesn't okay, so happiness has nothing to do with people, places, and things, with situations outside me. You know, to my children, to in catechism, this is a good apple, and this is a rotten apple. Now, if this good apple falls down, we kick it. This is still a good apple. It's good apple.
I love it.
This one is not. Now, if I leave this young man, he's going to have a bruise. He's going to turn blue, brown, yellow. Will you be able to use it? No. That is not the problem, the outside, like happened with the good apple. But the resentment that is inside, the trying to go even inside, that is the rotten. You follow me? Doesn't matter the heat here. This one's got a solution. It's going to go away. But the resentment, the trying to get even that is going to cook inside, that is the rotten. And once the apple is rotten, only God can fix it. Now, if this rotten apple is next to a good apple, it's going to make it rotten too. Mm-hmm. But you see, I didn't know that I have to go inward. I have the wrong idea that I was an ET nerd. I was fighting because I didn't know who I was. Step one helped me to find out. So anyway, so I was looking for people, places, and things to fix me. And then I found out that the solution is inward. So let me show you about this guy. I hope the people can see you here.
Yep, we're good.
Okay. Okay. happened is we are. So that to me is a vision for you, you know? So it's like, let's put a name to that little caterpillar. Let's call him Pete. What happened if Pete says, no, no, I am not going in there, in the cocoon, no way. I am hypochondria. What is going to happen? He will never become a butterfly. But what happened if you are telling him, you are going to have big wings and big colors? He only has been two colors. Green and brown, the fancy shade of the tree where he is. He only can see as far as the tree where he is. Maybe then the land where he's going to fall down if he don't hold in there, hold good on the leaf. But do you believe that that little worm can believe that he can fly? No. That is me. I call it. So it has to be something named faith. That little caterpillar has to have faith that he's going to become a butterfly and to go inward. Inward is prayer and meditation to become what God intends for us to become. Otherwise, we are not going to get out of being just a little worm. That is real. God is showing us how, what is the purpose, the what is the story for us in many different ways. That is only one, butterfly. But there are with the flowers, with the little seed of mustard and corn that can feed a millions. There are many, many different ways, but this one was very important for me to find out and to share with my children in catechism. Because the only thing that is going to take you there is inward. Going to the moon is not going to give us that. Being a millionaire either. Having the girlfriend or the wife. None. Only going inward. You didn't see that little one trying to find something in any other place, or it's a magic pill for it. It has to go inward. And that is the work of prayer and meditation. We don't have the power to do it. Sobriety is a gift from God. You know? I can make an apple pie. I can make many things with this apple, but I cannot make an apple. Who made an apple is God through a little bitty seed. And that little seed doesn't have water that comes from God, doesn't have sun that comes from God. It's not going to become an apple. So, God is the only one that can change me from inside out to become who He intends for me to become. In Mexico, we say that even if the monkey dressed like a queen, monkey will be. And the same happened with us. I can fake it. But sooner or later, the pain runs out, man. Yeah. Anyway, when I came here, I was so tired. I remember I used to be like, and my sponsor said, and I said, you know, I am so tired of living. I feel like being earth and I just can't. And she says, why? And she says, why don't you just let go? I told her, I feel like I am swimming in the middle of the ocean, going against the waves and going nowhere. And I'm so tired. And she says, why don't you just let go? You know, like when you go like that and let the tide take you, whatever it is. And I said, ah, what a concept. Yes, I can do that. That was so cool. But no, I always try to manipulate the outcome. You know? So I knew what I wanted to. I wanted, so I manipulate the outcome. Very often, many, the most of the time, it never happened. Anyway, now, Kristen taught me that I can go 15 minutes, so I will try to go only 10 minutes more. Anyway, because I have to tell you, step 1, 2, and 3, I say, please, God, give me what it takes to be sober today. In that moment, I am accepting I am alcoholic, and I have a problem. I believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, and make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. In the moment, I am praying God to help me. Step 4, I make a list of all the it's easy to see who did something to me is why the step 4 is start there. But then there are columns, and it's going to come the way I react to those situations. And by having one sponsor, it's going to help me to see that it's a pattern. I repeat over and over and over. If it's not in paper, you know, I cannot think one thing and write another one. It's why the police ask you to write the things, because you cannot say one thing and be the other one. So we need to write down. If we don't write it down, it does not come out. So anyway, so that is step 4. For me, the way I say that I have to do the whole 12 steps one day at a time is because my mind has to be open. It took me 10 years of sobriety to accept that I had resentment against my mother. I couldn't see it before. I couldn't see it. So when I saw it, it was so strong, man, I had to go to take the program of ACA, Alcoholic Child of Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Families, out there in Arroyo Grande, do my whole 12 steps on that. Now, look at the hand of God. After I had finished with that almost for a year, now let me tell you that Al-Anon, codependency, ACA, I think they are very much similar. They are so close, I cannot separate them too much. But anyway, I had to learn to leave the whole 12 steps in each one of these. But let me tell you about this one. After a year doing the ACA, my mother called me. And she left a voice message. And she says, I love you. Oh my goodness, this is new. So I called her back and, hey, what's up? And she said something about going to Mexico in October. And she said, hey, girl, I know that you are a physical therapist and nurse because I have your diplomas in my wall, in my bedroom. But how come I have no memory of it? And I told her, because you were never there, mother. So that happened 2 days before she died. And she was healthy. I believe that God put all this together to make a closure, you know, in both ways. And this happened after I had been done with ACA, not before. And that was already 11 years of sobriety. By the grace of God and by all the people that relapse and come here and let us know that this is nothing better when they relapse, is that relapsing is not in my story today, but in the grace of God. But anyway, now, number 6. When I'm entirely ready to God remove all my defects of character. When I did a step out, my sponsor says, my first sponsor, she says, do you know what you like? And I said, no, I have no clue. The color white has been my color because it, and she said, yeah, because it's safe for over 20 years. But somebody, after in recovery, somebody, maybe my dad or my niece said that orange was very pretty color. And I said, can I have my orange, my favorite color? So, orange is my favorite color now. But anyway, now, she asked me to make a list of all the things I don't like of me. And the F word was one on me, very strong. And so I didn't want the cursing, the smoking. In September 11, 2001, God removed from me the smoking. I didn't sit down and say, this is my last cigarette. Yes, it happened. The cursing went away, I don't know when. But anyway, so I have a list of defects of character. Eating too much is one problem. Talking too much is another one. You know, so I have many defects of character. Criticizing. So, all these effects of character, I put them in a piece of paper. And there is a book, Peggy Miller, she gave me to read this book named Drop the Rock. Very good. I do the opposite of my defects of character one day at a time. I don't for a week. I am so busy working in my 12 steps that I don't have time to be criticizing other people. So that is amazing. That is in step 6 and 7. Hey, make a list, make. So that is where I only step the steps 1 to 12 every single day. I go to Mass every single day because it's how I get related with my higher power. And the 12 traditions keep me safe in society. So, anyway, thank you very much. Thank you for coming.